In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dearly beloved Christ, I'd like to start with the story, and then JC will be holding a picture. As you know, we had the auction. There were many statues and pictures. I saved this one because I knew about the story. So if you can see it, then that's good. If you can't, I'm sorry. St. Augustine was walking along the seashore trying to think how he was to explain the mystery of the Blessed Trinity in his sermon the following day. If only he could think of some explanation, an example or a story that would make this mystery clearer to his people. So deeply was he thinking that he did not see the path ahead of him and almost stepped into a hole in the sand by a small child. In this hole, the child was pouring seawater from a small bucket. So that's what the picture demonstrates. "What are you doing?" he asked the little one. "Don't you see? I'm emptying the ocean into this hole." Augustine stood still, stopped by a sudden thought. It would be as easy for this child to put the water of all the seas into the little hole as for him to try to explain the mystery of the Holy Trinity. That small hole can be compared to our mind, which can never understand the mystery of the nature of God. And that's good, that God is above us. That if we're equal, then why should we worship him? But he's superior to us, and it's a supernatural mystery. Why did God make you? God made me to know him, to love him, and to serve him in this world so I can be happy with him forever in heaven. By serving and loving God with our whole heart, mind, and soul, we find true, though imperfect, happiness in this life. Almighty God promises us perfect happiness only in the next life as a reward for fulfilling his holy will. The salvation of our immortal soul must be our number one priority. Everything else must take second place in our life, as our Lord clearly stated. For what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world but suffer the loss of his soul? Wealth, material things, even health, if lost, can be restored. However, when the soul is lost, it is lost forever. We cannot be perfectly happy during this life because people or created things can't satisfy our desire for perfect and complete happiness. History and experience show that neither riches, nor honors, nor glory, nor reputation, nor power, nor pleasure, nor knowledge, nor any other worldly goods can fully satisfy our longing for happiness. Our true happiness in this life is in proportion to our union with God. Our true happiness in life is in proportion to our union with God. The more deeply we love God and the more closely we're united to him through grace and the practice of the virtues, the greater will be our happiness. Our Lord put life into proper perspective when he said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where rust and moth consume and thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither rust nor moth consumes, nor thieves break in and steal. Seek first the kingdom of God and his justice." My dearly beloved in Christ, what does the love of God mean to us? Perhaps since over the years we've so often heard about loving God, it makes little impression on our mind. However, we can apply a practical test to determine if we truly love God by looking at an example of true love here on earth. What is the best way to determine if a husband and wife truly love each other? Although some obvious signs of love are fidelity, restraint in spending for the welfare of the family, and the absence of physical and verbal abuse, they alone are not sufficient because they do not show unswerving devotion. Gift-giving, quality time, words of affirmation, acts of service and affection display love but are still lacking. Emotion and the enjoyment of love is no proof of true love. True marital love holds their spouse to be, aside from God, the dearest person in their life, the center of their thoughts and actions. This loving attitude of mind expresses itself in countless acts of love, respect, caring, helpfulness, self-sacrifice, and generosity. In a loving relationship, the focus is on giving the beloved what they need, on pleasing the beloved rather than self-satisfaction. For example, loving husbands and wives receive satisfaction in giving the biggest piece of pie, so to say, to their spouse, rather than enjoying it themselves. And then this point came across to me very clearly one day. We just finished a wedding rehearsal, and then they went to a dinner, and then there was the future bride and groom, and then the family of both parents. And after dinner, then they asked about if anyone wanted dessert. So the wife of the bride said, "No, I don't want any dessert." The husband of the bride, the father of the bride, said, "Yeah, I'll order something." So a few minutes later, this nice tiramisu dessert came out, and then the wife changed her mind and said, "Yeah, I'd like some of that." So she asked her husband, "Can I have some of that? It really looks good." And then I was kind of shocked, but the father of the bride had his fork, and he's saying, "Back off, back off, this is mine." But he was serious. So instead of giving the biggest piece of the pie to her, it was rather about enjoying it himself. Very selfish. So when husbands or wives are self-centered, their lives are directed towards pleasing themselves. Pleasure-seeking and self-centered personal gratification become for them the number one priority in life. Our relationship with God is similar. It will either be God-centered or self-centered. True love of God dominates our heart and mind. It's devoted and generous, fervent and spontaneous. It's best proven by willingness to joyfully give our all to God because we love Him above all things. True love is complete self-surrender, complete devotedness, complete service to our beloved Almighty God. As a consequence, we lovingly fulfill God's holy will, preferring His good pleasure to our own. For the sake of God, we view life and everything in it with a supernatural outlook. For the love of God, we strive to glorify Him and become saints, no matter how hard our selfishness and inclination to sin resist and fights against us. In our service of God, we lovingly submit to God's plan in our life. This is what's meant by laying down your life for your beloved, to love God with your whole heart, your whole soul, with your whole mind, with your whole strength. Everything we do when we're in love with another person, we do with the intention of pleasing him or her. In the spiritual love, the him is God. Since self-sacrifice and self-surrender is the greatest proof of love, we should make our charity as selfless as possible, as free as possible from ulterior motives. Christ said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." The observance of the Ten Commandments is a basic necessity of the spiritual life, but it's only the beginning. They show us what we should keep away from rather than how we should advance and how we should fulfill the two great commandments of love, love of God and neighbor. What we do rather than what we don't do indicates our love and our spiritual health. And I'm just going to go through a few things, and for many of you, you're doing these anyway, and if you're not, then we need to do it. Pray the rosary every day. Go to confession often. Receive our Lord in Holy Communion often. Faithfully attend Mass on Sundays and holy days of obligation. Read and meditate on the four Gospels. No other writings have such power to stir and touch the heart. And then I recommend using the Douay Rheims Bible with the scripture commentary by Father George Haydock. It's got the Gospels, but then it also has commentary to help explain what it's meant, what our Lord meant. And or you can use the 1943 edition of the New Testament from the Confraternity of Christian Doctrine. And of course, then we have to fast and perform acts of self-denial. Practice humility and charity, loving even those who are hard to love. Pray for the poor souls in purgatory because they will help you and pray for you. And of course, all of us need to repent. Repent, repent. We have to amend our lives. There's always room for improvement. Forgive those who have hurt you in any way, shape, or form. God will avenge those who hurt us. Give to the poor, and God will repay you tenfold. Tithe and contribute to the support of the church. Practice devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Satan and the demons fear her, and they're terrified by her. Accept God's will without complaining. Avoid occasions of sin, including bad movies that have horrible things in them. Be careful when surfing the internet, because even when you're looking at something good or neutral, bad things will pop out. Carefully monitor what you watch on TV or avoid it altogether. Be close to the church, and the sacraments will be there. My dearly beloved in Christ, in our service of God, we generally are not required to perform heroic deeds, but many tiny and seemingly insignificant tokens of our love. Therefore, wherever God has placed us in life is where we should be, and sanctity comes from following His will for us as lovingly as possible. It often takes moral courage to control the frustration and irritation we experience every day. In order to become saints, we must first learn to fix the things we can change and bravely offer up the rest to God. When we learn to patiently bear our crosses without complaint, we truly grasp what the love of God is all about. How many times do we whine and complain about our little crosses? We can learn an important lesson from the following story. A boy was struggling with his homework and asked his mom every few minutes, "Can I go out and play now?" After hearing countless complaints from her son, the boy's mother asked, "What would you do with $100 if I gave it to you?" The boy replies, "Wow, there's a million things I could buy with that amount of money. Some toys, new clothes, candy, etc." "You wouldn't throw away your money in the garbage, would you?" He looks at her as though she were crazy. Then the boy's good Catholic mother says, "Well, you're throwing away something even more valuable right now. You could be doing your homework, difficult as it is, to please God and gain merit for heaven. Now you're wasting it and losing all the merit. Even if your homework is tedious and unpleasant, at least have the wisdom to use it for the benefit of your soul." My dearly beloved in Christ, love is the one essential ingredient found in the lives of all the saints. Selfishness is a vice that directly opposes love of God and neighbor. To the degree that we empty ourselves of our selfish desires, are we enabled to be filled with God's love. But the emptying process is extremely difficult. Selfishness is stubborn and omnipresent. It permeates our thoughts and conversations as well as our external activities. We have only to stand off and observe our minds for a short time to perceive their sovereign preoccupation with self. We don't think the earth revolves around the sun. We're convinced that it revolves around us, our hopes, our plans. Our desires come first, pushing aside all else as of trifling importance. To love God, we must learn self-denial. We must learn to put ourselves humbly in His hands and accept all that comes and offer it back to Him. From our most stupendous accomplishments to our least acts, we must seek primarily to fulfill His holy will. My dearly beloved in Christ, it's difficult, but at the same time, marvelously rewarding. We are, when we love God and do His will, realizing our highest destiny, and this realization brings a glorious sense of well-being, freedom, peace, and satisfaction. It cannot be described. It can only be experienced. Viewing these ideas from a slightly different angle, we can say to love is to give. Love means not to give some of our life, not most of our life, but all of our life to God. We may protest, I give this or that, I did this or that, I performed such and such an act of generosity, surely that's enough. Yet love recognizes no measure called enough. Nothing short of all is the goal. My dearly beloved in Christ, our Lord gave his all for us, every moment of his life, every drop of his precious blood. When he was dying, he could say it is consummated because there was nothing left to surrender or give. The reason we make so little true spiritual progress is because we're tepid and always trying to compromise. Instead of loving God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, we mete out or apportion our love, so much for God and so much for self. Our heart is divided because we try to serve God and our selfish desires at the same time. We have room in our hearts for only one dominating love, and we must endeavor to make that God. Although we'll fall through human frailty and weakness, we must still fix our sights on God and overcome our preoccupation with self. Although it requires suffering and sacrifices to continually die to our selfish desires and ambitions, it's the only real true test of love. We finally see life in its true perspective, with the love of God as the driving force for all that we do. Then we make rapid spiritual progress. Holiness means doing the will of God constantly, generously, promptly, out of love. We can try to function without the love of God, but we can't truly live without the love of God. St. Philip Neri was inflamed with the love of God. He'd often say, how is it possible? How is it possible that anyone who believes in God and knows what the love of Jesus has done for him, can he ever love anything else but God? Beg of Jesus to give you the great grace of loving him daily more and more. In closing, as we see evil all around us, we must prepare ourselves spiritually. Time is short. If you've been away from the sacraments, come back to the sacraments. Come back to Mass. Come back to prayer, especially the prayer of the rosary, the daily rosary. Be at peace among those in your family. Many are estranged from each other. Love each other, forgive each other, as our Lord has forgiven all, for he died on the cross for sinners, and he would do it all over again. He loves all of humanity and does not want one of his children to go to hell, but many choose to go to hell, for they refuse to obey, and they do what they want. They do the things of their own choosing. They choose sin. They choose to love sin. You must not choose sin, but choose to love God and follow his commandments and love one another. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.